Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Hey, what do you say? Podcast time, peoples. What's up, Al?
Good morning, Jerry.
Yeah.
And Jerry, I got another package in the mail to my home address from this Paul in Eugene, Oregon.
Another one?
Yeah, who is a listener.
Oh, is this the one from the other day?
Yeah, this is the one from the other day. I got it late last week.
I thought there was another one yesterday.
It arrived Thursday.
All right.
But if Paul is listening.
He is. He does.
Okay. Send this to the radio station. Because then I have to lug everything into the radio station, and where I park to where I have to walk, I've got my all of my snacks that I eat. I'm carrying my yogurt
and your weapons. What
I mean? My weapons. I got weapons in my hand. If I got to carry all these items,
that's a very good point.
So I got sent a letter from Paul as well, Jerry.
Okay.
I thought I'd share with you.
All right.
By this way, this arrived while my sister and her family were at my home, and they were a little alarmed that I don't really know Paul, and he's mailing things to my home.
Mm.
Dear Al, I have a collection of Mets yearbooks and programs. I'm giving them to you to share with your coworkers, or to sell for your retirement fund, or to give away, or you could auction them at your pub fundraiser. This is another interesting part. I have included some maps from the West states, Arizona, Oregon, Wyoming, and some city maps. This might generate some ideas for vacations. I sent some beers for you and Jerry.
Yes, I got the lawn loggers. Thank you, Al. Thank
I suspect you, he has a lawn, so I send him lawnmower logger.
I do have a lawn.
I sent you an IPA from Ninkasi, a Eugene brewery. Nice. It was one of those big-ass cans.
That's
Jerry.
Cool.
In 2008, I went on a business trip to Dallas, Texas. I went to Dealey Plaza and bought a paper about the assassination. I included it in your box.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. I went to Dealey Plaza, too. I got you nothing.
I stood on the street where he was shot.
Yeah.
There was an X on the road. You should visit Dallas. There may be low fares from Newark to Dallas on American Airlines.
You can get very good fares to Dallas.
I actually did go to Dallas for the Super Bowl and I visited.
That's right.
Good luck with your fundraiser, Paul and Eugene.
That is very nice,
Paul.
Let
me show you some of the items here I have, Jerry. I have this 1969 Mets yearbook.
I got to be honest. That's cool.
Yeah, I got that one. This is the newspaper about JFK.
Right.
Then he also sent me
the newspaper's a replica, right?
A replica, yeah. Then he sent me a couple random Sports Illustrated.
Okay.
This is an interesting one. Drugs That Threaten Sports, 1969.
That is interesting to see. Wow, 1969.
About steroids?
Yeah, to see what's being written about. Is it about steroids? Or
it is. Well, there's steroids, barbiturates, amphetamines, painkillers. Look on the back, Jerry, an ad for Salem cigarettes.
Yeah. And a nice brunette.
Yeah. Then he also sent me an 8x10 of Howard Johnson.
Hojo
from the Mets.
Okay. Is it signed?
None of these are signed. Here's a Tom Seaver Sportsman of the Year, 1969 Sports Illustrated.
Wow. That's pretty good, man. And I see his address is on it. Was he in Oregon?
No, this is a California address.
Okay.
This is a cool one. I probably actually have this somewhere at home. This is a 1984 Mets scorebook with Hubie Brooks on the front.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's a good one. And then finally, Jerry, a 1973 Mets yearbook.
How about 1973?
Yeah,
this is the year they won the pennant.
69, they won the World Series. I looked this morning, the 1969 yearbook, $40.
Okay.
If it's in tip-top shape. No, it's cool.
Yeah.
So I do want to share these. If there's one you want, Jerry, before I was going to see if the afternoon show office wanted it.
Right.
You know, Evan, they have the Rico Bronya podcast.
They do.
That sort of thing. So that was nice of Paul. But Paul, if you send more items, please send them here so I don't have to do any heavy lifting.
Yes, that's a very smart idea.
Because I had to break it up. I had to bring the beers in one day, these things in the next day. He also sent me, which I have at home, he sent me a the USA Today from after 9/11.
Mm. Yeah, that's...
I don't know what I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Plus, it was the weekend edition. 9/11 happened on a Tuesday.
Oh, we've always talked about that.
Yeah, they skimp by on the weekend edition.
I'm actually surprised. I thought by putting in who was the Salem cigarette female model on the back of Sports Illustrated in 1969. It says, AI says, it's tricky to pinpoint the exact name of the cigarette model featured on. So
they don't know.
No, I guess they use multiple ones.
Cigarette models, Jerry.
Cigarette models. Yeah, I wonder what she got paid for that.
So thank you to Paul and Eugene Oregon.
Very nice, Paul.
By the way, he packaged those beers very nicely.
Yeah.
With bubble wrap and everything.
I just might break one open this weekend.
You do have a lawn, so I would...
I do have a lawn. That is very true.
Yeah.
And he was a very nice guy who I won't see until next year.
Next year?
Because Rutgers, I'll be in California next year.
Oh, okay, so you won't go to Oregon again.
Correct.
Until later
back
on.
To Oregon and Washington the following year if I'm still doing it, and I hope I am.
Okay. Remember yesterday I told you the story of, it was the breaking news that Spain...
I was looking into this yesterday.
Okay, so Spain and Portugal are in a blackout.
They're not anymore, but they were.
Oh, that's been cured?
As of 5 p.m. when I looked into it, it was 96% restored.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, this is the problem with the news. They want to just show me outrage, Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't show me when it gets cured.
Because no one wants to watch that.
But I also was trying to figure out if this is fake news based on what I follow on Twitter or this was real.
Well, the news said, so I want to see if you saw the same thing. I saw it was some atmospheric phenomenon. That was what I read.
Okay. So, so the things that I follow on Twitter, Jerry... claim that that's the excuse they're using.
Okay.
And that this happened on April 28th, right?
Yesterday.
6 days earlier, April 22nd, Spain came out. They were very proud. They were at finally 100% renewable energy. And then they lost it all. So people are like, this is the crap we don't want in America, renewable energy.
Right.
Because it'll fail. But I don't know if that's real or not real.
I don't know what
is
real and what isn't anymore.
You think it's, like, right now there's lights on in Spain.
That's as of 5 p.m. last night.
Okay.
Because I was curious to see if I put in
Google that again.
Outage in news. Spain over the worst, investigating the causes now. They rule out cyber attacks.
They ruled that out?
Yeah. They ruled out cyber attacks. So, yeah, I don't know.
Spain over the worst, it says.
Yep. They begin, 15 hours ago, Spain and Portugal begin recovering.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, 15, and that's about right. 15 hours ago would have been 10 p.m., 3, so yeah. So that's about right. 5 p.m., they said, I think they said Spain. I don't know what Portugal was, but I believe Spain was 96% restored at 5 o'clock. Because my wife had no idea. Like, I was surprised. She works at a school part-time. And I was surprised there where they are looking at current events and all that stuff. You told me about it at 10:30 in the morning when we record this. So when I saw her, I didn't see her until basically 5 o'clock. And I'm like, hey, were you guys talking about that's the power in Spain? And she's like, what's this now? I'm like, you didn't hear this? I was surprised. So I looked it up to show her that the whole country's out. She's like, no way. I'm like, no. So I Googled it. I'm like, all right, well, they're back. So
that's good. Yeah. It didn't last very long.
Long enough, though.
Yeah, definitely long enough where it gets scary, especially... When it was happening yesterday, they go, we don't know what causes or when it's coming back.
Yeah, and then what happens without power if all of a sudden, you get storms rolling through and, it's scary.
Yeah, very scary. So I was glad to hear that, but I don't need any of your renewable energy here in America.
So by renewable energy, we're talking, what does that mean exactly?
I don't know.
Okay.
No idea. Here's what I know. It sounds like it's different than we currently have.
Well, is that the wind turbines and solar energy and solar panels? And I don't know. Is that what they mean?
You know what, Jerry? That's a damn good question. I'm going to Google what is renewable energy.
That's what I just kind of assumed that was.
All right, Jerry. Let's see. What is renewable energy? Renewable energy is energy derived from natural sources that are replenished at a higher rate than they are consumed. Sunlight and wind, for example, are such sources that are constantly being replenished.
All right, so that's solar and wind turbines.
Fossil fuels, which is coal, oil, and gas, on the other hand, are non-renewable resources that take hundreds of millions of years to form. Okay, so that's those things you're talking about.
You know, they also do work better.
They do work better. Change this after I die. I don't want to be old senior citizen Al having my renewable energy go out.
I have a serious question for you because I see a lot of people with the solar panels on their roof now.
Yeah.
And you would always see, hey, get it for free and all this. But then I also have people that have told me they've spent a fortune on it, but then they make money back. So when you do it for free, are you signing over the power to the company that does it for you so that basically in perpetuity, they get the energy from, you know, you get the energy for your home, but they make the extra money. And if you're going to pay for it, which I believe is a pretty good penny, you're doing that because ultimately you're going to start making money on it.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know.
Well, I've had two great questions so far.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I never understood because I'm mildly intrigued by the solar energy. At this point, I'm closer to selling my house than staying in it at this point. I don't know if we'll be there another 3 years or 13 years. I don't know. I don't think I would make that investment at this point, but I am curious about it.
I also feel like, too, like at some point soon, you're not going to need those giant things
on your roof,
and they're going to be much smaller. Well,
like the satellite dishes back in the day.
Yeah.
Things just took up the entire roof.
Yeah, maybe you might just have one small thing that can power.
That could be. I mean, you can even buy solar panels in stores. And it will take the sunlight all day.
Oh, like put them in the yard.
Yeah. Now, I'm talking a couple of panels. I don't know. What is that charge? A radio? I have no idea. But you can do it. And I know a couple of people that have done it. I've just never gotten into the conversation with them about it or why.
Yeah. Sometimes solar panels, like your neighbors, like if you're in like a bougie neighborhood, they don't want you. Well, I guess it's a battle because bougie people do love to be environmentally conscious.
Sure.
But they also don't want their
the front of their house.
Yeah. Looking
but
like,
it also has to face the sun for the majority of the day. So for me, I would say the strongest part of the day with the sun is in the afternoon. I mean, it is, our house gets hot in the afternoon, even with the AC on, because in the summer, the front of the home is just getting blasted by the sunlight. If I was going to do it, I'd have to put them on the front, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. The front of my condo gets drilled with the sun to the point, like legitimately in the winter, I turn my heat off most of the afternoon.
Do you really?
Yeah, because if I have my heat set for 70, my house is sitting at 73, 74 just from the sun.
Interesting.
But that must mean in the summer, it's getting crushed.
Which is why the AC runs constantly.
Yeah.
The one thing you like about it, though, or at least I do, and I don't think I would ever trade this, I love the brightness.
Yeah.
And that, the natural sunlight. It's just, you know, I have a friend of mine has a beautiful home, but their sunlight is on the back end, and the front of their house is, I don't want to say dark, it's not dark, but it doesn't get that big boom of, you know, sunlight coming through the windows. So it's got a very odd feel to it. It's a beautiful home, really nice house.
Maybe I'll tint the windows in my home. See if that gets through the condo board.
They're called curtains, Al.
Oh, or curtains, yeah. Right, that, I could also do that. But then I can't see out them. If I tint my windows, I can see out them.
That is a very good point.
I keep hearing this thing, and it comes up on Joe Rogan quite a bit. And I Googled to see when this was first said, and it looks like this started in 2012. This is going on 13 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this idea that people will say, and Joe Rogan says it sometimes, when he talks about it, he goes, you know, if you make, and the number is $34,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of the world. I say, okay, but if I make $34,000 here where I live,
you're in the bottom 1%.
Yeah. So why do we keep acting like
I don't know.
You're so lucky to make $34,000 a year?
I guess trying to keep in perspective that in a vast majority of this world, people are working for a dollar an hour. You know, you've got people that don't have any money or any job. I know there are certain countries that are incredibly poor, where if they make $10 a week, it might be a lot. Could be. I don't know.
Yeah, but they're the ones who's bringing the number all the way down.
Yes.
And we're acting,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just it doesn't seem.
I mean, you know me. I can't take Dave Ramsey anymore because he's giving me math if you live in Missouri, for Christ's sake. Can you do a show on people that live in New York City, please, once? Because your model doesn't work for certain parts of the country.
Yeah, it's certainly it's very tough now with housing being what it is.
Yeah, it is.
But, yeah.
I was looking at rental rates, over the weekend. And again, I'm not looking to sell my house anytime soon, but I was just curious.
You like to know what's going on, Jerry.
Well, because there's been a part of me and my wife where we've, you know, contemplated to see if her mom wants to move in with us or if she wants to move from where she is or, you know, what to do with this, you know. And I'm like, all right, well, our house really isn't set up for it, so maybe we start looking around. Maybe I see something. But I'm not buying anymore at this point. I'm just not. So I started looking at rental rates. You know, Al, I'm not looking for an 8-bedroom house. I am not by any stretch. But looking for, like, a 4-bedroom home, and I was specifically looking for 1-bedroom on the first floor, but even if you can't find that.
So you're looking to rent somebody's home.
Correct. Looking to rent a house. I'm not even talking about a townhouse. A house. A 4-bedroom home. Do me a favor. If you can find one for less than $4,000 a month, let me know. And that's what's amazing to me about that is $48,000 a year in rent. Now, I totally understand, which is why I like the idea of renting. It also means if the hot water heater goes, not responsible. AC goes, not responsible. Heat goes, not responsible. Need a new roof, that's on them. All that stuff is now off my shoulders. I ain't gonna worry about it anymore. That's the beauty and the plus side of it. But I'm thinking, wow, that's $48,000 for people that are doing this, $48,000 a year. Before taxes, that's like $73,000-$74,000 in salary before you turn a light switch on. And it just makes me think, like, where, I don't know, when you hear these shows and they talk about doing this or doing that, like, this crap is a lot of money all of a sudden. And it's before Trump, too. These numbers were starting to fly high with the rental rates.
Oh,
in the last
sure.
5 years.
Ever since the pandemic, actually, since like 2020.
It's remarkable how much the cost of living has become.
Yeah.
And I don't know how people do it. I really don't.
I don't either.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's because even like small apartments, 1-bedroom apartments are like, it seems like what I look around at is $2,500 is the minimum. For like a small 1-bedroom in a, you know, regular building.
I've seen some in the 22s.
Yeah.
But not much. That's it. That is it. And you're right. 1-bedroom or maybe a small 2-bedroom. So it's that's why those shows really annoy me. Because I do agree that you can probably rent a house for $1,200 a month in Mississippi. But boy, you come to Monmouth County, New Jersey, Long Island, or God, good luck going to Staten Island or Queens to try and rent something. It's the prices are insane.
Yeah.
So staying put right now.
Not going anywhere.
No, I just don't. And that's the other thing. For what I see for $4,000 a month is not very impressive. It's like, no, I ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm better off putting an addition on my house for her.
Yes.
But, you know, ain't doing that either. It's a little expensive.
Yeah. I know that I still, even though, I'll still like when I'm looking on like YouTube and things pop up, I'll still always go to that. I'll watch anything that says like renting versus buying. I love to look at that.
Oh, sure.
Doing the math on it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because a lot of times it comes out pretty even.
And that's the whole point. It is very even. And the best line, and because I flipped on this. I was always into the buying. And the last few years I've flipped on. You know, now I'm renting from this point forward, especially having a lot of equity in the house. Why would I buy at this point? But the one line that always comes back that is true, and that's what I was talking about with the hot water heater or the roof, is when that guy, I forget his last name. His line, though, is when you rent, your rental price is the top of what you're paying every month. When you buy, that's the baseline because someone's got to cut the grass. Someone's got to fix the roof. Someone's got to replace the window. And it's like, wow, he's right. Like all of these things that when I think about I've had four homes with a townhouse and three homes. And think about all the work we've done. If I was renting that entire time, I would have never had to do any of that. I don't mean a rug or a painting. I don't mean that. I mean like significant repairs. You know, if I'm in this house and I'm renting and the pool collapses like it did last year, that homeowner's got to come in and make it a safe environment and fix the deck and replace everything. And he's got to spend the $15,000, not me.
Right, but at the end of your stay there, you walk away with nothing, and at the end of your stay in your house, you'll walk away with a boatload of cash.
Given the it's interesting because you're paying a lot of interest over the years. I mean, if you really, that's where you start doing the math and add up all the repairs and the upkeep, I do believe it comes out to be relatively level.
Yeah, one of the things I also try to go back and forth with is, so I'm in a condo now.
Yeah.
And I have the monthly maintenance fee. Mm-hmm. And mine is actually, I feel, very reasonable. But at any moment, you know, at the end of the year is when they look at the next year. Yeah. And my place has been very good. It goes up very, the 1 year went up nothing. Next year went up not a lot. But there's always the chance that it's just going to go up.
They raise it $150 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, when I was in Basking Ridge, every year it went up like $40. And you're there 9 years. That's a big climb.
That's substantial.
Yeah. And then you go, okay, so what if I had a house, what would it cost me to maintain the grounds?
Yeah.
Like that. And then you try to go.
Sure.
Like, what's your monthly? Yeah. What's the monthly thing like for doing your lawn for, the snow removal, yeah, trash, all that stuff.
Well, I mean, for me, my lawn guys, and I think they're pretty reasonable. We're I think 140 a month. I want to say it's like 40. What is it? 45 a week? 40 a week? No, it's 40 a week. So 160. You know, that I pay a month to have the lawn done. I used to do it, but it's just I'm too old now. My kids are not around enough to do it, or they would. And it's not my old problem. The one I have now is you can't push mow it. It's just too big. So I'm like, do I go spend $2,500 on a tractor, or do you just pay the $40 a week and let them do it for however many weeks? So, yeah. And then even little things, like I told you, I spent a couple $100 on mulch yesterday, you know, like that's out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, those are things I got to go get. There's all sorts of things. I got to fix the shed roof that I cannot believe I have to spend $3,000 to fix a shed roof.
Yeah, I feel like eventually, like, well, a lot of these things are kind of equal. Otherwise, someone would have gotten to people and said, stop renting or stop buying.
I think they're equal.
It's pretty equal.
You know what? The one thing I would say, and we've talked about this before, I do think when you buy a house and you get a good market after you buy the house, it is like it's a forced savings, as opposed to you're going to have more money on hand if you rent. But do you save it, invest it, or spend it?
Right. Because
you can be left with nothing at the end.
Yeah.
At least with the house, unless the market completely tanks, which it could, you're right. I am going to walk away with a big fat check, which is nice. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
That to me is a bonus if that works out.
Yeah. And I guess you could. Yeah, right. I mean, I was in Basking Ridge for 9 years. I sold my place for a little less than what I bought it for.
Right.
In 9 years.
It can certainly go the wrong way. There's no question about it. I've been lucky. In the few places I've bought and sold, we have made money. And I've rolled that over as part of the down payment.
Yes.
In this house, that money will be going to investing and saving and all that stuff.
All right. All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show. We did that this morning at 5 o'clock. We'll be back here again tomorrow on a Wednesday, also at 5 a.m. Sure.